other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by Hamburger Hank's Diamond Exchange. My name's Aaron, here on the personal pals, Brick.
Hello.
Dave.
Hey, my babies.
And of course, Old Irish Nico.
Hello.
It's the end of the year, kind of. It's a little close to it. And time to reflect on our reading from the past year, from 2020. It's been a weird one. So this is the first of a series of episodes of kind of like recollections or looking back and looking forward, I guess, that we do in the year typically. This one is our best book of the year. So the thing that we read that we enjoyed the most.
Not a book that
this calendar
came
year.
Out this year, right?
Yeah, just the book you read this year that you enjoyed the most. And I think last year we extended it to other kinds of media too, right? Like even we include like text, I think, and like websites as well. So you can also like things you read that you share that you like the most as we want to sort of cover. Like I said, it was a weird year. I was thinking about my reading experiences this year, which we'll talk about in another episode, but like just things that I read, and it was like it's a maybe the weirdest list of things that I spent time reading this year, probably. And not weird in terms of content, just weird in terms of like what was I doing and why was I spending so much time doing that. But I guess we'll talk about that later. Dave, let's start with you. What is your best read of 2020?
Well, because it was so weird of a year, I counted that I finished 15 books this year, which is like, I don't know, man, like a quarter of what I usually read.
As in, it seems low for you.
How about you guys as far as like quantity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say like maybe five.
Five books, yeah.
Probably.
So my favorite book, I read it back in February before. I mean, February feels like years ago.
Yeah.
So I don't even remember it that well, but it's Ironweed by William Kennedy.
Oh, yeah. Right.
1984 Pulitzer winner. You saw that movie, right, Aaron? Did we talk about that?
I haven't seen it, but I know of the movie. Nicholson and Meryl Streep, right?
Yeah, sometime in the 80s.
Yeah.
What I remember, it's set during the Depression. Former baseball player wanders around Albany with old friends and companions, most of whom are like seriously fucked up on drugs and alcohol and just like life. And they're dying. Most of them are dying of something or other. And a lot of them do die during the book. The protag hallucinates about people he's killed in his past, including his infant son, who I think he dropped while trashed and then kind of like left town so he wouldn't be arrested. So he's coming back like decades later.
Did he just leave the kid on the ground?
That's about all I remember. Yeah, I think he dropped it. He picked him up, dropped him accidentally, and then just split town.
Just like fucking
throw. And the kid died
the
and he hallucinates. He hallucinates the dead kid as well as some other people he killed, I think in like self-defense or something. One thing I do remember that the dialogue was particularly good. It was like Hemingway, but like a good, like a much better version of Hemingway.
Hmm.
And if I still had the book, I would give you guys an example.
Do you know like William Kennedy's work besides that novel?
I haven't read.
I have no idea this guy.
This one is like the third in a sort of a cycle, I think, that are called the Albany stories. And it's on the Modern Library list of top 100 novels, which you guys know I'm trying to catch up with you on. So I think that's what prompted this originally.
Cool.
And it was super good. I haven't chased down any of the others yet because, as we'll talk about in our next episode, it's just been such a weird reading year to begin with. So at some point I'll get back there. So that's I would say that's my favorite book that I read for the first time this year. I didn't read anything that came out in 2020, but I did reread some favorite books of mine, like Under the Volcano. I read that again. Night Boat to Tangier, Slaughterhouse Five, but I feel like we've talked about all those.
Do we talk Slaughterhouse Five in this podcast?
I would think so. I feel like Vonnegut pops up often, and he'll pop up in the next episode.
I know we talked about it before, but like, do we talk about you rereading it? I don't think we'd mentioned that before on a What Are You Reading episode. Just real quick, did you enjoy rereading it?
Me or Brick?
Both.
Yes, very much. I mean, that I've read it probably 5-6 times, and it holds up.
Okay.
Yeah, me too. We definitely, I talked about it in one of the What Are We Readings when I reread it.
I must have had a stroke.
On the
Brick, what about you then?
And so I counted, Dave, we tied. I also finished 15 books, which is, probably same, you know, somewhere between a half and a quarter.
Yeah.
And as we talk, I just can't focus.
Yeah, it's hard.
I've started a lot more than 15 books, but I haven't gotten very far, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a couple of runners. This is going to be kind of a lackluster pick anyway, because I think in a normal year, probably none of these books would be what I picked.
Hmm.
And they're good books. So I got a couple runners up. One is the House of X, Powers of X, the X-Men comics that we talked about a while back. I think that was the first maybe superhero comic in a while that I've enjoyed more than just sort of for curiosity's sake.
Yeah.
And I literally read that on January 1st. So downhill from there. Another one that I think you will be pleased with. I think Goodbye Columbus I almost picked as the my favorite book that I read this year.
I like it.
I did really like that book. And I was pleased that it changed my opinion on Roth a little bit, because my previous reading experience with him was not really something I enjoyed. And I was also pleased that it still felt relevant.
Did we end up doing an episode about that book after I read it? Okay.
Yeah, we did that was the great recording debacle where I screwed it up, so we had to record the audio afterwards and like brick patch it together.
Oh, did it come out all right?
Yeah, it kind of sounded really good, actually.
Yeah, that was the one. Yeah.
And you and I are friends again, so that's good.
I have a vial of your blood on my desk.
So ultimately, you know, not really a fun book to read necessarily, but I think the best book that I read this year was How to Be an Anti-Racist.
Ibram Kendi.
Ibram, what's the last name?
Kendi.
Yeah, Kendi. That's right. Ex-Kendi. It was the best book I found in that particular moment. I think it had a lot to say, and it said it very thoughtfully and eloquently. Hmm. And it did a nice blend of personal narrative with just sort of putting out there what needed to be put out there. So I really appreciated it. And I shared it with a number of people. So it certainly had an impact.
Do you think it's a book you would come back to? Do you think you would ever reread it? Or is that sort of like a one-time read that you sort of, and then kind of build from there? Or is it, I don't know. I'm just curious.
I don't know if I wouldn't come back to it necessarily. It depends on how things go in the next 10 years. You know, I think there's, it's something that is worth coming back to. Whether I will feel I need to or not is different.
Yeah, so that sort of thing with, as opposed to reading a novel where you might come back to it, like Slaughterhouse-Five, for instance, just for sort of re-experiencing the setting of the language, like a book like that might sort of impact you in a very significant way, but it might not be something you have to revisit necessarily to re-experience that lesson. Like you might just instead keep reading and sort of adding more to it as you go along.
Well, yeah, and also I think I'd be more interested to read whatever he writes contemporarily with what's going on to see how those things change and evolve, or if they do, and really sort of, you know, hopefully this year was a pivotal moment in a lot of things for the better. So we'll find out, you know, in the coming years.
Yeah. Excellent. Nico, what about you?
So I think I landed on, I almost said The Watchmen. I had reread that for podcast, and I was liking that, and I was surprised by how good a remake, I guess, I thought the show was based on the comic book. And then I was listening to old podcast episodes, like kind of at random, and I listened to the spoiler episode, and guess what Aaron spoils in the spoiler episode? Fucking Watchmen. Ooh. And I hadn't like when we recorded it a couple months ago, I didn't even have the context to have that information stick in my brain, but now it's like, son of a bitch. And it was one of those like where I could tell, it's like it was a rapid fire thing, but I could tell, and I was like reaching for my phone. I was like, no. But yeah, so that didn't win. So I guess I'm going with this kind of almost random, like weird fantasy. I guess it's a duology. It's two books. It's called Six of Crows and Crooked Kingdom, and it's like it's like fits 2020. I think it's like just pure escapism. It's like a ragtag group of criminals in this like fantasy world, and they do a heist to get revenge on everybody who's wronged them. And it's like clean, easy, to relatively short, so it like got in and got out, and it was just kind of entertaining and diverting and didn't have any greater significance. The only weird thing about it is that it's one of those books where it has to be about high school kids for whatever reason, because that's like the fucking thing. It's like, I don't know if it's technically a YA, but it feels a little bit like that. So the main character is the leader of this gang who has all of these underworld connections. He had a horrible injury at one point, and so he walks with a cane and a limp, but he can still like fight pretty well, and he's 17. It's like, what? Like, that's way too young to have all of that history. Like, I could buy it if he was like 45, but not 17.
Right.
So anyway, that's my 2020.
Did you see the author of those books?
I did not write it down, but the first one's called Six of Crows.
Cool. Yeah, like the rest of you, I had a massively reduced reading list. It's funny because we had talked in last December or last January, I can't remember which one, I think it was January, about looking forward to the year of reading. This is before COVID happened. And I mentioned wanting to just like be able to go away with a bunch of books and just read for like several months and just have time to sort of dig into these texts. And then all of a sudden it didn't exactly happen, but it happened in a manner of speaking, and it did turn out that way. I didn't dig into reading because, like Brick said, I was distracted and it was hard to, I mean, I did do some reading, especially in the summer months in May and June, I didn't have work, but it was even then kind of hard to sit down with a book for a long time and really dig into it, or sort of find myself kind of lapsing into it as opposed to on my phone looking at Twitter and shit. So that distraction so really, really hindered my reading. Even comics, which are usually my kind of go-to for like short bursts of reading, I still have a ton, like a huge stack of comics to catch up on from even like June and July that I just haven't been able to get around to just yet. So it's hard to find things. A couple of 33 and a thirds I read this summer that I enjoyed the most was the one about Nas's Illmatic, I think. That was a great book. And an album that I hadn't listened to too closely, and I started listening to it a lot more closely and really enjoyed the experience too. That's a great one.
When did that album come out?
Illmatic, like 92, yeah. I think, okay. Maybe. Another contender would be Lord of the Flies. I really enjoyed that one. I think that was a really good experience. And also, I was just surprised by how good it was. It was because I had never read it before. I would mention this thing, I guess, the podcast, but I never read it in high school or middle school. And so going back to it, I was like, oh, this is probably interesting. And all of a sudden, it was just like this massive revelation. It was super exciting. But I guess my overall pick, and this is not fair, I suppose, but it was Goodbye Columbus, because I just really enjoyed getting back into it. I mean, I love the book for a good reason, and it was good to come back to it and find that I was still rewarded with that love. I still, like Brick said, found it relevant to today, found it sharper in ways that I hadn't appreciated before when I was still reading it through kind of a more romantic lens. This time I was looking at it from more of a critical or sort of cynical lens, and it came out really rewarding in that regard. I just love Roth's voice. Yeah, I was excited to go back to that book. And also I read the subsequent short stories afterwards and really enjoyed them too, which I also read before but didn't read it for our episode recording last time.
Any one of those in particular you'd recommend?
Eli the Fanatic, I think, is the standout for sure, but they're all good. So yeah, that was it. Retrenching is the theme of my reading in 2020, is like going back and just like the things that I liked were the things that gave me the most comfort, and the things that I knew before, which in some ways sucks, but also kind of makes sense too.
Aaron, great again.
Yeah.
Make Aaron great for once.
Aaron, did you reread Mr. Miracle in advance of the discussion about it?
Yeah, I did.
How did that one issue strike you again this time?
Because I have read that issue individually just like 6 or 7 times on its own.
Okay, yeah.
It's like, it's not quite as, it didn't punch the same way it did before, but still, I mean, whenever I get to it, it's still, I think about, like we discussed in the episode, like the connection to my experience of depression and self-hatred that comes out in that issue is so clear. It resonates so deeply that it's hard not to, like I will never read it and not be like moved by it, but still it didn't quite hit that same sort of impact of like, oh my God, I'm reading something that is meant for me.
Yeah. I wondered if it maybe had even a harder impact given what's going on all around us.
Oh, interesting. Maybe if I had read it at a slower pace, I read it all kind of like in like a day or two, then I catch up for the podcast. But yeah, no, it's still, I mean, the same. You know, what hit harder because of the pandemic is Watchmen. And I was like, Nika, I thought about Watchmen on my list too, because yeah. We'll hear more about that in the next episode. If I've already experienced
it. It's wild how relevant it still is. Like the politics of it are very relevant, which is crazy. And deeply depressing.
Yeah, I found myself.
Just tie it all up in a
Lobo. Yeah. I've also thinking about Watchmen constantly since I read it a couple weeks ago, more so than I ever have when I read it in the past. I think it's because of how present it feels right now, which is, like you said, depressing and shocking. That's 37 years old. No, 34 years old. And feels like it was written yesterday.
Which episode of Mr. Miracle was it that you liked?
It's issue 4, I think. It's the one where the trial, when Orion comes and accuses Scott of betraying or being infected with anti-life. And Scott basically says like, yeah, I am. And then there's that part where he's like, you hate yourself. And he's like, yeah, I do. And there's like the whole Orion as representing your inner critic, the inner voice that tells you you're not worth anything. Yeah, just hits. Especially if you're reading it in a dark bar in November and you're drunk. And all of a sudden you think something's happening to you. Listeners, tell us about your best books of 2020, not books they are published. I think any of us read books that are published in 2020. It doesn't sound like. But whatever you read this year that gave you something, some sort of comfort or some enjoyment, some light in your life, let us hear about it on Twitter at YakBabies, and also email us at yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your stories there. Also, patreon.com/yakbabies is where we live with our secret podcast. You can get it for $1 a month. It's a very low subscription rate. High reward. Lots of fun stuff happening on Patreon. There's games, there's Broto Bros, there's little excerpts of audio from the episodes that you shouldn't hear, but you can for $1. So we're doing that. Check that out. And we have some... I did just hiccup, yes. And then we have some merch. We have merch available. The merch is really good. Brick's doing a great job designing some excellent mugs and t-shirts. So go check those out as well. Until then, Yak Babies, yak it off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all the loyal listeners, and especially their patrons past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, Roger, and William Howard Taft.